You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on? This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown, MyAggieNation.com. Over there, that's Zach Taylor. But on the line, we have the most important man of the hour, and that is the new voice of the Texas A&M Aggies, the play-by-play guy, Andrew Monaco. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, you do, wait, just the hour? Most important for the hour? Can I extend that time just a little bit?
I think you're going to have probably quite a few years to extend that from here on out. For sure. So getting right into it, you've had some time in Aggieland. You had some time to kind of be the voice of the Aggies for a little bit now. What's your take so far on College Station, on Aggieland, on the program, on everything that is A&M?
If I may first say thank you to everyone for the welcome, not just for me, but also for my family. Overwhelming in such a positive way. I had an idea what it might be like. It has been not even close to what I could think. It's just been terrific. I'm so excited to be here, so thrilled to be here. I'm just enjoying getting to learn everything about College Station coming from San Antonio. I can't wait to immerse myself here in the Bryan College Station area and in Aggieland. And I'll tell you that the first impression has been so positive, and I know you joked about it, but I hope to be here for a really long time and be a part of this community, really integrate myself in this entire area.
Well, Andrew, as somebody who works for News Talk 1620 WTAW, the official flagship of Aggie Athletics, I got to listen to your interview that you did with Bill Oliver, our news director, right when you got hired on board. Maybe folks might not know, but your son is an Aggie, correct?
Yes, he is. He graduates in December.
Oh, wow.
So during the coaches' nights this year throughout the state, you know, I would introduce myself and say I'm an Aggie dad, and I would hear the whoop. But I told you, the whoop that you're really hearing is one that's going to come from my wallet come about December 15th. So that's going to be the most important. No, Andrew Jr. And Andrew flat out loves it. I have loved watching him grow into the young man that he has become, and the core values of A&M, it's really fit. So really gave me more of a glimpse into A&M as an outsider, but then also from the inside. I can't tell you what it's like to have your son take you around campus and tell you about the traditions and living the core values. It's one of many reasons to come here for this job, but it was a big reason because I thought it would be a real good fit. But I'm thrilled that my son has an Aggie ring and that he graduates in December.
You mentioned those coaches' nights, and from what I've seen and heard about those, with Jimbo being his first year to kind of parade around the state, the attendance and the excitement on those were pretty high. Is that what you saw, and kind of what were those like, getting to kind of follow around Jimbo and seeing what the state's reaction of the new coach is?
Yeah, the first one was in Austin, and just the room was filled. It was in the Austin Convention Center, filled and then some. And the last one was in San Antonio, and I had a chance to be up here as well when they had it in the Hall of Champions. And the one thing was that all these Aggie clubs had to keep getting bigger rooms because of that excitement, because so many people could not wait to hear Jimbo speak. Okay, could not wait to be a part of these, you know, terrific coaches' nights. And They start with one room, and I know in San Antonio it was the third room that they could do, right next to the AT&T Center. They had to get larger areas because of that excitement. And then you have that, the build up. You have a chance to meet him early, and then you get a chance to hear him speak. And I mean, it's just rapt attention for 45 minutes. They, you know, Aggie fans cannot wait. They couldn't wait to ask him a question, and he was going to answer. And you know how Coach Fisher is. It's always honest. But there was that excitement. There was a buzz. There was a, they can't wait for this season to get started. But what jumped out at me from the get-go was, you guys know that a lot of coaches, and it doesn't have to be just here, it can be anywhere, they wrap their arms around their program. Jimbo, I think, has wrapped his arms around all of A&M, all of Aggieland, and the entire school. he jokes about the traditions. You know, the book that they gave him on traditions is larger than his playbook, and he never thought he would see anything like that. But he is wrapped around the entire school, and he knows that that is also a selling point for his student-athletes who are going to come in. That's what got me. This wasn't a new guy who was it was just going to say, okay, my kids are fine. My football program is fine. I think the way that he has embraced, I was listening to him saying, not only does he get it, but he is all in when it comes to this program.
Well, I remember whenever he was hired, the official press conference in early December of last year, you know, we were asking him some questions, and he said, I like to wear my boots, I like to drive my truck, I like to shoot my guns. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's the rule for every Aggie, but I think that fits College Station and Texas A&M pretty well. Again, visiting with the voice of Aggie football, Aggie men's basketball, that's Andrew Monaco. Of course, his first season at the mic will be this coming fall, and it will also be Jimbo Fisher's, obviously, first season on the sidelines. Now, Andrew, I know that you're a guy who's done football, you love football, but your background really is in basketball. So was that kind of your first love coming into broadcasting?
It's really been a little bit of everything. I have been fortunate, you know, the 16 years in the Spurs organization, so obviously it was the basketball being there and the different properties that Spurs Sports and Entertainment had, the combination of, you know, the Spurs being that and the WNBA with the original Silver Stars that became the Stars. I was originally hired in San Antonio to do hockey and the Rampage in the American Hockey League. I had come from Orlando, and with the Magic, we had the Magic organization. We had the same situation of three different teams of an NBA, WNBA, and a hockey. So to see that opportunity, I great place, an unbelievable place to raise my kids. I love the schools there. I love the opportunities there, the sports here in Texas. You know, we were talking about Andrew, who do football and baseball at the 6A level. My daughter, you name it, she can play it. And she is a sophomore, so I'll still have the connection to San Antonio because she'll be a sophomore at Trinity, but she played basketball and she's playing softball at Trinity also. But also the other UIL, the whether it was theater, whether it was orchestra, all that other stuff. So I love that. But what I was fortunate enough in the last two places I have been, not only working for those teams, but the freelance opportunities. And in Orlando, it's really where I grew up. I had a chance to fill in for Sunshine Network, which is now Fox Sports Florida, and do UCF football, but then also fill in and do Florida State football and the University of Florida, the football, the baseball, and the basketball. So when there were conflicts, I had a chance to be with these programs. So to be with Bobby Bowden at Florida State when Florida State's playing Auburn or Clemson, that was a thrill. I kind of grew up in television and really worked, even though I worked with different partners, for football, I had a chance to work with Charles Davis, who's now with Fox and NFL Network, and we kind of grew together, and I could not think of a better partner for me for football. He played at Tennessee, but he all these connections. And he really taught me how to, one, to prepare, two, how to, you know, also be a better play-by-play guy and let my color guy speak. As you know, radio and TV can be very different with that picture. But he also allowed me to prepare. Now, play-by-play and color prepare very differently, but I think it was all the times that we either traveled together or during the games, just like we would get game film, and I would always ask him, Charles, what are you watching for? I'm trying to put names with numbers. Look, my job is to tell you who. Dave Elmendorf's job will be to tell you why when we work together, and I so look forward to that. That made me better. So it was those freelance opportunities, whether it was with Sunshine or Fox Atlanta, you know, Fox Sports South, and through the SEC that way or through UCF as they were building their program. So I've been blessed to be able to do a number of different sports. I think my favorite sport is the one that I'm doing at the moment. So it will be football. It's just a blast, and I'm very glad that I've been able to, that they have trusted me, you know, the bosses in the past, the versatility. And that's what I like about this, to go from football, and I know it drives everything, but to work with a class act and a great coach like Billy Kennedy, I'm looking forward to that as well. I've really enjoyed doing a number of different things. I don't think I've ever buttonholed myself. I don't know if that hurt me in the past for some things, but I'm thrilled that has allowed me to come here, because we add the social part, we add the digital part, we add, you know, there'll be podcasting, so to work with 12th Man Productions as well. That's what made this job so attractive.
Yeah, you mentioned watching some film in there before games in the past. Have you gotten a chance to watch any film of this this Aggie team yet, gearing up for the season?
You know, I have been welcomed to be able to watch the practices, and I just flat out enjoy it. I've done that in the past a little bit when we could, but could never really stay for a whole one. One of my partners was Jay Gruden, and John was coaching in Tampa, and Jay, who at the time said he was not going to be a coach, he lied. Jay always joked he wasn't like John Gruden, because John liked to get up at 4. Jay said, I like to sleep. And then look at Jay Gruden now, after being a coordinator with the Bengals, now with the Washington Redskins. But Jay was able to bring me to one of the Buccaneers practices, and I was just blown away. You see it, you know, as a fan, but to be able to walk around and talk with some of the coaches, I love being able to watch this team prepare. I love the effort. I love the enthusiasm. I love the want to, and I say the want to be better. I've seen it when my son played, and be able to talk to his coaches. This is a completely different level, and it's just really a pleasure to be able to watch, to see what they've done from the very first practice, and then you put on the shells, and then you put on the full pads, and then there's going to be the scrimmage. This is their classroom, and this is where you learn. And there are times that you're going to get yelled at, and there's a time you're going to get the pat on the back. All of that is going to evolve. But what's interesting is all your habits, good and bad, that happen in August, all the things that you want to do in August are going to pay off in November and December. And for this team, they're hoping in January. This is a very critical part. But I just love the effort and the enthusiasm and the communication that you're seeing. I think this team has a little bit more of a confidence as we keep going deeper into these practices.
Yeah, so looking ahead to the season, is there one more is there one SEC venue that you're looking forward to visiting here in the next couple of years?
I'll be interested to go to Alabama. I've gone past it. I've been in Auburn and Mississippi State, and I've been in the Swamp in Florida, having been, you know, lived there, and then Tennessee there. I think Alabama is the one, you know, that's the measure. Although you have, when you're in the SEC, you get measured 11 times a year, right? Or 12 times a year. It's not just one. I just love the atmospheres. I mean, throw all those out. I'm so looking forward to be immersed in the game day with Kyle Field. I am looking forward to the rapport with Dave Elmendorf and Will Johnson for our broadcast. I've always said I'm like a geek. I like stadiums. I like arenas. I love campuses. When that thrill is gone, that's when I know when it's time to walk away. But game day has always been a thrill for me. But on the road, I really look forward. I'm looking forward also to Cowboy Stadium. I'm looking forward to that Arkansas game, to do that, you know, to work in. You know, I've done games in Miami at Dolphin Stadium, whatever it's named now. It has changed so many times. To do a game in the Superdome, always a thrill. And then to be able to walk into the Cowboys Stadium. And that's the opportunity where all the Aggie fans come to Kyle Field for the home game. I know that's a neutral site, and I understand that why Jerry does it, you know, being Arkansas. But to see what has happened during the coaches' nights in the off season, and then to see all those Aggie fans be there in Arlington will be something special also.
Andrew Monaco Sr., he is the voice of the Fighting Texas Aggie football and men's basketball teams. Of course, you can hear him all season long on News Talk 1620 WTAW, as well as Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Just had to drop that in there. Andrew, thank you so very much. And by the way, if you'd like to follow him on Twitter, he is an active Twitter man. You can go AndrewMonaco_Sr. and follow him on Twitter today. Mr. Monaco, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure being with you guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, that'll wrap up our segment. When we come back, we'll keep it rolling. Again, you're listening to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown, keeping it rolling on this Wednesday. And joining us now is one Courtney Rowland with Rivals. I got ahead of myself. You know who you are. We know who she is. She's our friend. She's coming on the podcast lots of times. It's Courtney Rowland. What's up,
From Rivals.
From Rivals.
Hello, hello. Keep Keeping It Rolling with Courtney Rowland.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. That could be a whole segment.
That is the segment.
That is the segment. Okay.
Yeah. Courtney, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You know, football's back, keeping me busy, driving back and forth from Houston, but I don't hate it whenever Jimbo Fisher is keeping it exciting like he is.
Yep, you've been out there at practice with us. What has stood out to you so far from players, from Jimbo, from the way practices run? What's been the key thing for you?
I mean, I'm excited for the open practice on Sunday for all the fans to be able to see what we're seeing because, I mean, just the whole atmosphere is different. You know, the attitude and the players, when they come and speak with us, you can just tell that they believe, truly, I think, that they can do something good with themselves in this season. And then also, you know, obviously with the quarterbacks, it's still competition. And you look around the college football landscape, and there's some big schools still, you know, with the quarterback competition, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Florida State, where, I mean, there might be a little bit more obvious on who their starter might be, but I think Kellen Mond has made big, big, big improvements. Just, you know, him being a dual threat guy, he has that going for him, and then you've got Starkle on the other hand, who can throw the deep ball amazing, and at this point, I guess I would say Starkle if I had to go with, like, a guy today and talking with other guys and seeing what we're seeing, but I know there's still time, and Jimbo's not in a rush to name anyone. I know someone had the 2 weeks and he's firing, and we'll know. But with Jimbo, I think it's just going to be a gut instinct kind of thing, and whenever he's ready, he's ready. And then Javon Osborne, I enjoyed talking with him earlier this week. I knew he was going to be great to talk with just from his recruiting days, but he's really turned it on. You can tell he's worked hard. He looks the part. And then on the defensive side, well, the linebackers are looking great. You know, a position that we were all nervous about, you know, last year is looking great. I think Tyrell Dawson's going to have an amazing year. And then I guess a little bit of concern at offensive line, but Coach Turner doesn't seem too concerned. Neither does Jimbo from when we spoke to him the first day. So that's just kind of a general outlook and what's standing out at this point.
No, I'm really interested about the offensive line, as you made mention. Jim Turner doesn't seem to be too concerned about that. But when you've got a guy like Eric McCord, they continue to move him around from guard to center and back to guard. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But I want to go back to you mentioning the quarterback competition right now. And I was trying to think back to when was the last time that Jimbo had a true dual-threat quarterback? Because, I mean, with Jameis Winston, even though he could run the ball a little bit, does he count as a true dual-threat quarterback?
True. That's right. You know, dang.
What about Francois, the guy he had? Was it Francois, the guy that got hurt, right,
yeah,
the
yeah,
last
yeah.
season there?
But is Francois really considered a dual-threat quarterback? Because again, I'm not saying that these guys can't run, but how much does Jimbo ask them to run is the other question. And
if you
look back through the history of the quarterbacks that he's – mentored, most of them, it seems like Nick Starkle more or less fits the mold of what he's worked with before. Could be wrong.
Right.
Could be wrong, but it seems that way to me, and I'm not saying that Kellen Mond has absolutely no shot. I think he does, but when you can tell the arm difference. You can tell one has a better arm than the other, but what Mond can do with his feet helps make up for that. What I'm wondering is how well will that fit into Jimbo's offense?
Right, and I don't think that Jimbo's going to be the type of guy in the past couple of years, ever since Johnny Manziel was there, it hasn't seemed like we've had a consistent quarterback go through A&M, whether it be injury-prone or whether it just be unsure of who's going to start or maybe promising younger guys something that, like, whenever Kyler Murray was there, you know, the promise of getting to play, that kind of messed things up that year. I don't think Jimbo is going to mess with all that. I think one guy's going to be the guy unless something happens and he ends up getting hurt. Which God forbid that happens. But you're right. I mean, I just think right now, if I had to say who it would be, it'd be Starkle, but that almost seems safe, I guess. I know they both have had playing time last year. We would need to see a game time situation. You know what I mean? Like, you never know what's going to happen when they're thrown out there under the fire. Things change from what we see. I know seeing all of practice on Sunday will be big for us too, but I know will be a little bit vanilla, and they're not going to show us everything. But I mean, at this point, I would say that Jimbo knows who he's going to go with, but for some reason, he's still holding out, right? You know, maybe he's still waiting for Elias to turn on Kellen. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was the question I was going to kind of lead into at the end, and you kind of offered up your opinion there with the Starkel. Zach, what say you on the quarterback? We haven't really addressed this yet on the podcast.
Well, you had talked about, wasn't DeAndre Francois a dual-threat guy? Whenever he played in all 13 games in 2016, he rushed for 198 yards the entire year. He averaged 1.8 yards per carry, so he wasn't a dual-threat guy. Sean McGuire definitely wasn't. Jameis Winston, his last year at Florida State, he rushed for 3 touchdowns, but only 57 yards, or I should say 65 yards total. He had 219 that Heisman Trophy winning season, but Jimbo's not going to ask his guys to run a lot. And I feel like Mond, especially last year, you know, and it's understandable as a freshman, was a run first kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
pass second. Whether or not he can adapt and fit more into the mold that Jimbo wants, has yet to be seen, but I think right now Starkel, without a doubt, is the front runner.
Well, Jimbo has been good at, and what he talks about is his offense is definitely his offenses are very multiple. While they're pro set, they definitely fit into what his skill set dictates. And so if Mond is the guy that steps up, just because he hasn't necessarily recruited that true dual threat guy in the past, it doesn't mean that they might not utilize him that way. I've been pretty a heavy Starkel favorite up until the last couple of days. I still think Starkel's going to win it, but I think in my mind it's a lot closer than now than it was before, because I think
100%.
I think Mond is really shown some stuff, and when he gets into it, I think Mond is a guy that might be able to win over the room necessarily before Starkel does, and that's what Jimbo said he's looking for. So I think it's closer than it seems, but I think Starkel is still the guy. Courtney, my other question too, moving away from the quarterbacks, is what have y'all seen, and you've been out there with the cornerbacks, because in the defensive secondary, I think is kind of an overlooked unit that this team. It's going to be young, and while they got some experience last year, the experience wasn't necessarily super successful.
Right, yeah. I wrote something on that this morning, but I think it's still a wide-open battle at cornerback. You've got Sean Taper-Smith there that comes in some dime packages, but then I do think it's a wide-open battle there. He's got talent, but like you said, it's young, but it's still a battle there.
Definitely, definitely. Zach, what do you think of the defensive secondary? I mean, you got Donovan Wilson is the kind of the leader back there, who is moving a little bit out of that kind of nickel type role and really looking like he's in the free safety role that was vacated by Armani Watts.
Yeah, I think it's huge that they've got Donovan Wilson coming back, because that's a veteran presence. I mean, elsewhere you've got some very talented guys, but they're very young. I think you saw a lot of that as freshmen last year. You know, Ed Oliver comes to mind, plenty of other guys in that secondary. We'll see just how well they're able to adapt here in their sophomore season and under a new defensive scheme with Mike Elko, but you saw flashes of what could be, and mm-hmm. I think that that's huge, and I'm sure that Jimbo Fisher and company see that as well. But Donovan Wilson coming back, I think, is very, very big for that secondary.
True. Well, guys, Courtney, Zach, we got to get out to practice here in just a little bit, so we got to get off this podcast and get some more good information up for everyone. Courtney, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, we'll have you back soon to break down once the season gets going. We'll have more Miami Nation podcast next week as we inch closer to that season opener when all College Station shuts down. I know, when all College Station shuts down for a Thursday game at Kyle Field. So we'll have more information after Media Day this Sunday to talk about next week on the Miami Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown. For Travis Brown and for Zach Taylor and for Courtney Rivals as well. This is the Miami Nation podcast, and we'll see you next week.
It seems like every day everything just has a way to must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. And if we wanna keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. I wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me.